Welcome to another episode of Wrestling with Worldwide Willis. This podcast is brought to you by the LMG Podcast Network. Guys, I'm back. Apologies about last week. I was on vacation, and I also was sick. So that's why I missed last week. However, we're back, right? Still not 100%, as you probably can tell from my voice, but we're going to push through. We're going to push through and make it happen. We got a lot of wrestling to talk about. So let's get right into it. So we had quite a few matches of the week this week. Had a few matches of the week for we had a match of the week for AEW. House of Black had a triple threat match against Briscoe, one of the Briscoe brothers, Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett. And it was an Atlanta Street Fight match. And it was pretty entertaining, pretty good. But like any match, House of Black, they figure out a way to make it pretty entertaining. And you know me, I've talked about I'm a big Brody King, Malakai Black fan. So anything House of Black, I'm in, you know. So this was a really fun match. It was, you know, over the top, of course. There was flaming tables and things of that nature. However, it was a really good match overall. So I enjoyed that one. Collision, sometimes, most of the time, provides pretty good matches. At least give you one or two solid matches, and this is one of them. On the previous episode of NXT, we had Dijak versus Joe Gacy in a steel cage match. That was a lot of fun. Those two, it was crazy. Yeah, straight jackets. You had, you know, boxing gloves popping out of a box. It was crazy, but it was great at the same time. So I didn't know I'd care about this match, but it was really, really entertaining. Really good stuff. Dijak did a moonsault off the top of the cage. Like, I'm glad Dijak's getting more love. You know what I mean? In NXT, I'm hoping he can make it to the main roster and really kill it in the, you know, in the mid card, because the dude can wrestle with anybody. As we know, his esteemed matches with Keith Lee back in the day and stuff. So, shout out to Dijak. Then we had in this past episode of Raw, most recent episode of Raw, we had Liv Morgan versus Becky Lynch. Didn't think I'd be putting that in our match of the week category. However, it was a good match. Really was. Kind of, you know, obviously the punches were pretty a little too light for my liking. The blows weren't necessarily hitting in the way that I would like. However, it was a good match. It told a story. It was, you know, when Becky hit the manhandle slam, Liv was smart. You know, Becky hit the manhandle slam on Liv near the side of the ring. She hits it with it. She's about to go pin her. Liv knows that she's on the side of the ring, so she rolls out so she can't get pinned. Same thing happens with Liv hits the oblivion on Becky near the side of the side of the ring. Becky rolls out so she doesn't get pinned. So it definitely told a story, which I appreciated. And they was battling in there. Not the two most athletic or talented wrestlers in the women's division. However, they put on a good match. Didn't love the finish. However, you know, you had to get there. Yeah, we had to get somebody out to win. So, yeah, shout out to Becky and Liv for that match. And then, obviously, we'll talk about it in more detail, but the Intercontinental Gauntlet match that we saw on Raw, the main event of Raw, was some really good stuff. Thought some guys really stood out, but that was a really good match. So, yeah, those are our matches of the week. Now, we have a ton to talk about. So, we'll kind of touch on them as we go. So first, I kind of want to talk about AEW. I feel like AEW obviously isn't at the height to where it used to be. We know that, right? The hype isn't there. The numbers aren't there. However, I will say they're kind of doing some things that I'm liking. They're getting my interest again. There was a time where I dipped away because they were just doing some wild stuff. Tony Khan was being Tony Khan, and I was just like, no thanks. WWE is way too stable now for you to be over here doing silly stuff. So I'm going to just stick with WWE and keep it moving. Dip in and out when I can. Where now I'm like, okay, the pickup of Okada, that helps. I've always felt like Okada is a big time superstar, honestly. Probably should have went to WWE, but I don't blame him, right? Tony Khan threw him the bag, so you know, you do what you do, right? And with the and with him working with the benefit of working with AEW over WWE is freedom, right? You're gonna probably get a bigger bag and you got freedom. So in Okada's case, he can go back to Japan, still wrestle in New Japan events. He can still wrestle in other events and still make crazy money. He isn't deadlocked into every AEW date, you know, week to week. He just isn't, right? Same thing with Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay can go overseas, do his thing, but still show up frequently on the weekly television. So I think Okada and adding Ospreay brings a lot of juice to an already kind of, I don't want to say bubbling situation, but like AEW had a little bit of steam there, right? With Samoa Joe being his champ. Honestly, he's been a better champion than MJF. It's hard for me to say that because I'm an MJF guy, but I'm also a Samoa Joe guy. He's just been a better champion. And he's fought obviously way more frequently. So that's nice. But him, you know, Samoa Joe's Swerve's resurgence and rise has been dope to watch. And like, you know what I mean? Just seeing those guys really cook has been fun in the main event scene. Like this main event scene they have right now, I'm liking, right? The Young Bucks coming back and kind of really leaning into the things we always thought about the Young Bucks, but they're like leaning into it. I like that. You know what I mean? I'm really enjoying that stuff. Now, I didn't see an Okada heel turn coming. I did not see that. I thought for sure the Rainmaker was going to come in and be a white baby, you know, white meat baby face. But, you know, okay, that's fine. We can make it. I'm okay with a heel Okada. That's fine. That means he probably didn't have to talk as much and he could just lean on the Elite, you know? So that's kind of cool. And when Omega comes back, that'll be interesting. You know, it's a lot of guys out with injury right now, as we know. So it'll be interesting to see how things go. But I do like what AEW is doing right now. The women's division, obviously still kind of up in the air. We'll see if Mercedes Moné shows up. If she does, that's obviously another big boost to the roster. But I think men's-wise, I like Okada and Ospreay. Obviously, it sounds like we're going to get Ospreay and Bryan Danielson, which is going to be – I mean, that's amazing, right? That's like these – it feels like Bryan Danielson's on this crusade – wrestling crusade to just go against anybody who has a name he's going against, you know, Zack Sabre Jr., you know, Samoa, like all these guys. And so I'm loving that. I've always had respect for Bryan Danielson, but I have 10 times more respect for him now. Okada, you know what I mean? Just different people he's challenged over the last couple of years. It's really cool to see, especially when you know, like his time is limited in the ring, but the dude is trying to do everything he can to where when he leaves, he can say, I did it all, you know? So shout out to Bryan Danielson. He's also added a lot to the main event scene when he's healthy. So yeah, just a little bit of AEW appreciation. I know this is a heavy leaning WWE podcast, but I want to show love to AEW. I love pro wrestling in general, right? I started out as a WCW fan before I was a WWF fan. So, if it's good, I'll watch it, right? If New Japan put some good stuff out there, I'll watch it. Like, I don't care. But shout out to AEW. I wanted to show some appreciation for NXT as well. They're doing some great stuff. Obviously, they got the Melo versus Trick Williams big storyline right now. That's like the foundational storyline week to week. Trick returned last week. That was really cool. My only critique for Trick, if I was talking to Trick, if I was giving him just some pieces of advice, and he probably would go, "Hey, man, you've never wrestled in your life. Why are you giving me advice?" I'd say I totally understand that opinion. However, the only critique I would give him is his punches look very like it felt like I was watching myself at at 12 years old on a trampoline acting like I'm punching my best friends. You know what I mean? It felt like that. And I'm like, it shouldn't look that way. It shouldn't look like a guy who's acting like wrestler. You know what I mean? Honestly, it looked like I was watching an IG video of someone who's like, you know, we've all seen him like on Instagram where somebody talks about their love of wrestling and how they used to beat each other up and they play like they're doing moves on each other and they're doing fake punches. That's what Trick's punches look like when he came back on Carmelo and those security guards. And so I was just like, that was my only critique. It was just like, Trick, we got to get you in the lab a little bit, right? We got to get you in there with William Regal and really start working on like, hey man, like if you're gonna throw a punch, it gotta look good. It can't look like you're just doing it just to, you know what I mean? It can't look like you're 12 years old again, back when you used to fake act like you was punching your friends. Like, you know, it just gotta look a little better. You know what I mean? If you're gonna be the top guy of this brand, which I think they're pushing him to be eventually. So, but that was a small critique. The moment was great. I think they have a lot to work with. There's so much meat on the bone for that, and that's gonna be the thing everybody looks outside of the Cody Roman, all that WrestleMania stuff. NXT wise, everybody gonna be talking about Melo and Trick. So that main eventing stand and deliver. Hopefully that does main event stand and deliver. That's gonna be great. It's gonna be amazing. So shout out to them. I think the family has been doing a really good job as far as like on NXT. They've just been, you know, really involved with everything. Obviously, they were in the tag team picture. Now they're in the main event picture. Tony D'Angelo is doing a great job on the mic, kind of putting himself in the mix, right? So he's gonna go against excuse me. He's gonna get going against Dragunov in the main event and stand and deliver for the championship. I don't think he's gonna win. I think Dragunov's gonna retain still, but I like to see what he does. He's a really good character. He's done a really good job of holding down the family, that faction. And I think with these new members, he's gonna position them to do their thing as well. So yeah, shout out to the family. I think they're doing a really good job. Now, the women's division, I gotta shout out Jada Parker, man. Jada Parker's in the next one up. Right. I remember when Tiffany Stratton showed up that first time, everybody was like, yep, yeah, that's the one. She's going to be something. Look at her now. Right. I think Jada Parker's that next one. I really do. I think she just has everything. Right. She just walked in with that swag. I think in the ring, she's working to get better. She has talent in the ring and she's like aggressive. That's what I like. Not only is she aggressive with like her swagger and her character, but like she actually like throws punches. You know what I mean? Obviously, she ain't hurting nobody, but it's believable. It's contact. It doesn't look like she's wrestling her best friend and not trying to hurt her. It looks like, oh, you really got beef with this girl. And that's what it should look like. You know what I mean? In the men's division, them dudes be smacking, like the closer they are, the harder they hit each other. Where in the women's division, sometimes the closer they are, the more they hold punches back. And it's like, why? Why is that? You know what I mean? Excuse me. And so I'm just, excuse me. So I'm hoping Jada Parker can really continue that. I hope she can get in the gym with William Regal and he can really work with her and be like, yeah, that's a strength. Keep that, right? And just her presentation, her swag, like she just looked like she wanted him. You know what I mean? She just got swag beyond swag. And so I think she's going to be the next one up. I think the women's division is in a solid place. They've lost a lot of women due to call-ups, which is understandable. But I think Valkyria has this interesting storyline right now. But I do think they obviously have some women in the works who are really talented. And so NXT, man, I trust Shawn Michaels. Like he was probably Booker of the Year last year, possibly outside of Triple H. So I trust Shawn Michaels in that arena. So, okay, let's talk about the recent developments from this recent week of SmackDown and Raw. So on SmackDown, obviously, we had the big showdown, right? We had Seth and Cody and versus Rock and Roman promo, right? So we basically got a confirmation that on night one of WrestleMania, we are going to get Rock and Roman versus Seth and Cody. If Seth and Cody lose, then Cody versus Roman on day two is going to be bloodline rules, right? Anything goes. But if Seth and Cody win on night one in a tag team match, then on night two, Cody versus Roman is a fair fight. Bloodline cannot be involved. So it's going to be my theory is they want to muck it up a little bit, right? Sort of. Think, especially with a lot of people thinking that The Rock is going to turn on Roman, I could see a Seth and Cody loss on night one, but that leads to some shenanigans on night two that also doesn't necessarily help Cody win, but there's some shenanigans going on to obviously the bloodline gets involved and they're trying to help Roman win, but then there's someone, possibly The Rock, we'll see, who helps Cody fend off the bloodline so then Cody can finish the job with Roman. So we'll see. We'll definitely see. But we definitely, it was cool to see that confirmation. It was cool to see all four of those guys in the ring at the same time. The place was buzzing as it should be. I did want to talk about a little bit about The Rock's promos. I don't know if I'm in the minority here. I may be wilding. I'm kind of getting a little, bro, they were coming more cringy every time The Rock talks. It's just getting more and more cringy to the point where it's like, dude, like I can literally close my eyes and know what you're about to say. I know your cadence. I know we're going to do The Rock says, bop, 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 insult, insult. Then he's going to give you a little bit of information. Then he's going to say he's going to whoop your candy, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just so, like, predictable. Like, it's a formulaic in a way. And it's old. Like, it doesn't fit the natural promo that we have now. I feel like The Rock back then, when The Rock was killing as a promo, it didn't have to be conversational. It just had to be, okay, talking third person, throw a jab in there and make people laugh. That's what a promo was during Rock's day. Where now it's more conversational. Like if you listen to Cody's promo on Monday, like it was amazing. It was emotional. He talked about his dad. He talked about not having anyone left but his mom and his sister and like having to give them the title to them. He couldn't give it to his dad, but had to give the title to them. But it was conversational. It flowed. It wasn't jabs. Even the promo with Seth and Drew, conversational. They're both talking to each other in very common sense, conversational. Where The Rock's promos are all just, and I mean, look, other people throw jabs at each other. That's a natural part of a promo. But The Rock's are just so forced, I feel like, so robotic. And a lot of his insults just didn't make sense. He's just like, yo, punk ass. Let me tell your punk ass. Look, boy. Let me tell your punk ass. Oh, boy. Blah, blah, blah. I was just like, what? Like, why are you so hostile towards these dudes? These dudes have not done anything to you. Like, I can understand talking down to them because you're The Rock. I get it. If he approached it as, look, son, like, you're not on my level. Let me teach you something real quick. But he was like, almost angry, the way he almost to the point to where it reminded me the way he used to talk to John Cena in the early 2010s, where we knew there was actual beef there. I'm wondering if The fans throwing off the WrestleMania Roman versus Rock has him a little flustered in the fact that he's a little upset, like actual upset. So he's taking that out on in his promos. And it's sort of like, come on, bro. I know you're a little rusty, but these are coming off really like his first promo he did is Hollywood Rock. Solid. Very solid. The insults were hidden. They were very specific. He got in, got out, did what he needed to do. But I don't know. And something's off with his promos. And I may be wilding. Let me know. But I'm just not feeling his promos right now. I'd rather much rather hear Roman talk or Cody or Seth. Again, I may be in the minority on that. But either way, we got big news from that. So I don't necessarily love the idea of this tag team match. I'll be honest. This isn't something I would have asked for at all. But, you know, they basically, I think, they told Triple H, hey, man, you got to get this. You got to get The Rock on the card somehow. So you decide. Do you want to do Roman versus Rock or do you want to switch it up, get your Cody, finish your story stuff, but you are mandated to get Rock on this card. He's like, all right, we'll make it happen. So I kind of think that was the direction. We also got some on the latest episode of Raw this past Monday night. We got the tag team title defense confirmed for WrestleMania. So we have the six team ladder match, tag team title match at WrestleMania. So Judgment Day will go against five other tag teams, defend their title in a tag team match. We'll have some qualifying matches to decide who those other five teams are. I like this decision. However, I think everyone was expecting a title split or unification news. So this news was cool. Like, I like to see the tag titles defended at WrestleMania. That's good. Like, they should be defended at WrestleMania. However, man, like, we went a whole, like, now if you think about it, like, last year, we literally had the, double titles. You know what I mean? Kevin Owens and Sammy versus the Usos, main eventing night one for the, you know, double tag team champions. And it's like, bro, we couldn't have unified these things at any point, right? Like, just doesn't make sense. Either unify them or split them. But right now, they look silly. Being like brand specific colors, we know that doesn't really matter, right? I'm cool with it not mattering. But if it doesn't matter, then just unify them and make them sort of like the women's tag team title, where it's just defended on either brand, doesn't matter. You know, so, and I think the tag team division is deep enough to where you can split them. Or keep them, I actually like the idea of keeping them, unifying them, especially if we can get a really good design. But either way, I think there's a little disappointment there, but I think, either way, I think we're going to get a good match. I think we're going to get Creed Brothers in there somehow. I can see Pretty Deadly being in there. I can see them getting Waller and Austin Theory in there as well. And then they're probably going to throw in a, you know, maybe one random team. that'd be cool if New Day was in there. And I think for sure DIY is getting in there, for sure. They've really been pushing them. They've kind of been getting over with the fans, so good for them. And then I think for sure Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne probably get in there too. So it's a lot of up for grabs. Street Profits, who knows, right? Who knows? So, yeah, I'm kind of excited for that tag title picture. We also saw that Jey Uso called out his brother, Jimmy. So we got a confirmed, well, pretty much confirmed match with Jay and Jimmy. Jimmy just has to accept, but I think we all know that's happening. Even in kayfabe, they said like their dream match is for them to go up against each other at WrestleMania. So we're for sure getting it. This is kind of a favor to them for the hard work they've put in the last four years of really putting in work and elevating themselves. This is one of the greatest tag teams of all time, and being part of one of the great storylines of all time with the Bloodline. So, I'm excited for that. I mean, I don't necessarily think it'll be a classic match, but I think it'll be fun just to know that these guys, this is what these guys dreamed of. You know what I mean? Since they was a kid, to see it realized is going to be really fun to watch. So, yeah, lastly, we'll talk about the Intercontinental Gauntlet match, qualifier gauntlet match. So we had JD McDonagh against Ricochet first. That was a six-man qualifying match. JD and Ricochet had a really good start. Like, that was really fun. I'm glad they let JD show off his in-ring ability. They've kind of made him a Judgment Day comic relief character almost at times, or taking all the bumps. But honestly, JD is a really, really good wrestler. Like, top of the line wrestler. He was great over at NXT UK. He was great with the Cruiserweight division as a Cruiserweight champ. So I was glad they let him and Ricochet cook. Ricochet beats him. Bronson Reed comes in. Bronson Reed defeats Ricochet. And then I'm trying to remember the sequence, but basically you had Bronson Reed, Shinsuke, then you had Sami Zayn, and then the final two was Sami Zayn versus Chad Gable. Now, I think many of us thought Gable would win this just because the vignettes have been great. The build up to this, it just means more campaign basically that he's been doing. I was all in on it. I could see what they were thinking with Sammy, but also I was like, not a ton of meat on the bone there between him and Gunther, honestly. but and it's also like it's kind of hard to pick somebody who we can believe can beat Gunther. That's the difficult part. But they had a Sammy and Chad really killed it. Sammy and Gable killed it in their little like final part of that gauntlet match. It was really fun. It was back and forth. It was so many like false, like almost false submissions, false, tap outs, false count outs. It was just really, really good stuff. Crowd was into it at the end. And surprisingly, Sami Zayn wins. Sami Zayn wins and is now going up against Gunther at WrestleMania. Now, I could definitely, the way it ended, I could see Gable somehow sneaking his way into it and making it a triple threat. But let's just act as if that doesn't happen. I think most of us are surprised that Gable would lose cleanly and no interference from Imperium, none of that, and would lose cleanly to Sami Zayn because Sami Zayn wasn't my like clear choice, to be honest. Like, Sami, I like Sami and I kind of understand Sami's, big name now. So I sort of understand it, and he's a former IC champ. But I think the momentum was definitely behind Gable. So, interesting choice, but we'll see. I do think it's going to end up as a triple threat. But if you get Sammy versus Gunther, I think it'll be a great match. Still think Gunther retains. Still think Gunther retains, though. Excuse the cough. Sorry about that. I'm still not all the way 100%. But yeah, that's our news for the week, kind of thoughts of the week. Now, our top five. I thought about this and was just thinking about last week's, on the latest episode we did top Gunther matches. Well, I thought, let's do top five Cody Rhodes matches in the WWE, though, not AEW, of the current WWE run, the American Nightmare WWE run. So yeah, number five, Cody versus Seth, WrestleMania Backlash. So not WrestleMania, WrestleMania Backlash. I think the Backlash match was better than WrestleMania. WrestleMania match was good, but Mania Backlash was, I feel like they had more time to prepare. It wasn't this whole surprise thing. Cody was here, so now they could really, really cook with him and Seth. kind of have their first like real match, you know. And it was really good. We may see Seth again on this list. We'll see. number four, surprisingly, is Cody versus Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam 2023. This was a fun old school squash type of match, to where Brock is great at threes. He had great ones with CM Punk. He had great ones with Daniel Bryan. To where Brock is just throwing dudes around. I mean, he was throwing Cody around. Cody was laying it high shoulder, high neck with them suplexes. He was beating the dog out of Cody. But then Cody found a way to overcome that and really push through and actually give you a legitimately babyface comeback. And so you were like rooting for, you felt bad for Cody. He was getting beat up so bad, but then you felt you were rooting for him when he was coming back, which is literally all it was for. And so Cody ends up winning. And, you know, Brock kind of gives him like a, all right, cool, you're ready now type of thing. And it was because we had always wondered, like, why is Brock like doing this to Cody? Like, he turned on Cody when they were supposed to be a tag team against Roman. You know what I mean? Against the Bloodline. Like, why? We got no explanation. But at the end, when Cody defeated Brock, Brock was kind of like, all right, you're ready. So it sort of seemed like Brock was sort of testing Cody to get him ready for what he eventually would have to do, which is defeat Roman, right? So he was, I guess he basically felt like, I don't think you're ready. You need to beat me to get ready for that. That hurdle. So that was really cool. And then again, that's my interpretation of it. Could be wrong. Number three, and I say the American Nightmare, top five American Nightmare matches, but I had to sneak this one in. Cody and Dusty versus the Shield. The Rose Brothers, Dusty's on the side. They win the tag team titles. Dusty's over there crying. Come on, man. I just sneaked that one in. But yeah, I just had to, out of respect. R.I.P. Dusty to a goat. But yeah, man. That was an amazing moment. Amazing moment. I wasn't even super into wrestling during that time. Like, I kind of dipped away. But when that storyline came up, I was tapped in. I was tapped in because it just, they pulled on the emotional strings. And, and anytime, I'm big on wrestling families. Like, I love dynastic type of families. Like, anything with that, I love. Like, third generation, I love that stuff. So this was just really cool to see Cody and Dustin kind of team together and overcome the odds against the Shield, who the Shield was unbeatable at the time. All right, number two, Cody versus Roman at WrestleMania 39. In L.A., that match is underrated to me because people see it as Roman retaining. They kind of forget about the actual match itself. It was really good. It was really good. That was one of Roman's best title defenses as far as a match is concerned. The crowd was into it. The everything, a spectacle. You had Cody and Sammy and Kevin running out there to defeat the Usos, who were trying to, you know, cheat and get involved in the match. There was history there. It was just so much involved, and the match has so many different layers. And yeah, man, that match is really underrated to me. I think that match will age really well later on. And lastly, no surprise here, but it's the Cody versus Seth, Hell in a Cell, torn pectoral muscle, torn pec match. Obviously, this match, many people didn't think would go on, but then Cody, like, refused to sit out, came out there, took the robe off. His chest is basically black. Like, we always, you know, black people would play about Cody Rhodes being black and being welcomed to the barbecue. That man's chest and arm, pectoral area was black, purple almost. And it was gross. So the crowd was like, oh my goodness. You know, and the crazy part was it was in a Hell in a Cell, which is automatically dangerous. You're in the ring with Seth Rollins, which this is peak heel Seth Rollins too. He wore Dusty Rhodes polka dot pants to throw even more of a dig at Cody. He did not shy away from that injury, hit him with the kendo stick. He did everything. Cody was selling. Like, he felt bad for Cody again. But he found a way to come back and get the W. But that was an amazing match. Like, that was a match of the year, potentially, that year, if it wasn't for Gunther. If Gunther didn't exist, that would have won match of the year. But, yeah, those are my top five Cody Rhodes matches. Just to overview, number five, Cody versus Seth at WrestleMania Backlash. Number four, Cody versus Brock at SummerSlam. Number three, Cody and Dustin. Cody and Dustin versus The Shield. And then number two, Cody versus Roman at WrestleMania 39. And number one, Cody versus Seth Rollins, Hell in a Cell. Polka dot or peck match. So those are my top five Cody Rhodes matches. And yeah, folks, I appreciate you typing back in with me. Sorry again for being out. As you can see, I'm not 100%. Apologies for the coughs. But yeah, we're going to push through. It's WrestleMania season. So we got to grind. It's grind season. So got to push through any injuries, any of that. We expect the wrestlers to do it. So I got to do it. I'm just a podcaster. So, again, I really appreciate y'all's time. Shout out to you guys checking us out. You can hit us up on social media, Facebook group, Instagram. We can post some more content on Instagram, on Twitter. Yeah, just hit us up on YouTube. If you have any thoughts on your thoughts on WrestleMania, The Rock, any of those things, hit us up. Well, I loved it. Love to go back and forth with you. But until next time, we out. Yep.